opportunity to share his word, and we are thankful to God that we have been able over this time period with all the odd things that are going on in the world to be able to continue to spread the word. And it is our desire to let you know that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have professed him to be your personal savior, and we recommend that for everyone. If you're listening and you have not done that, it's our deepest heart desire for you to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us to go and command that people believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know the gospel is a command? It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If you believe that God has raised him from the dead, amen, that's one of the most exciting principles that we teach, is the fact that Jesus has been risen from the dead, so we don't even have to worry about death. He has covered us for death, not to mention life. So we're going to talk about that today. But just before we get started, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Jesus said, man ought to always pray and not faint. In other words, don't give up. There's some challenging things going on in the world for which we might have a tendency to give up. But the Lord said, don't give up, pray. I don't know what you're going through, but God is for you. Amen. No matter who the devil in the world might be against you, God is for you. He loves you, and he's making a way for you. You have to always see that, even in the midst of all the crazy stuff that you see going on, realize God is for me. Amen. And the scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one successfully. You can come against me. You can put some grief in my life. You can make things hard for me. There's stuff in politics, in religion of the world, all the foolishness that the devil puts up can be confusing and even intimidating in many cases. But you have been covered. If you trust and believe the gospel that God has given his only son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and that he raised him out of the grave. That's the spectacular thing about the Christian gospel. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But you can always pray. That's the one thing. People always like to say, oh, I couldn't do anything but pray. Well, you should be praying anyway. Pray before time. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Paul taught the church at Thessalonica. But let's go ahead right now and pray, because it's a wonderful thing to lift up prayer. It's a great privilege. Like the songwriter said, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Amen. That's a privilege that you and I have. So let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today, Father, for letting us get up this morning. You woke us up, oh God. We were clothed and in our right mind. And so, Father, we thank you right now. We exalt your name, for you are excellent, oh God, and worthy of all of our praise. Father, we our highest privilege that we have is to bow before you and give honor and glory to your holy name. We know that you are God Almighty, all by yourself, and without you, we can't do anything. And so, Father, we come confessing our sins. We ask you to forgive us, O God, for unrighteous things that we have thought, unrighteous deeds that we have done, Lord God, and we just ask you to bless us today and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You said if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And, Father, we thank you that you provided a perfect blood when you allowed your own son, Jesus, to be crucified on the tree, Lord God, in order that his precious blood would cover us from every unrighteousness in our lives. And, Father, we don't take that lightly, Father. We just thank you right now for the blood of Jesus, without which we can't do anything. And so, Father, we praise you this morning. We exalt your name this morning. Father, we thank you for all the provision that you have made for us. You have provided for us in all things, Lord God. We have food on our table, clothes on our back, Lord God, and you have blessed us to have everything that we possess. And, Father, we want to use everything you've given us to your praise and to your glory. And so, Father, we just thank you that you are the source of our daily bread. Lord God, you promised that you would give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. And you say that we should forgive those who trespass against us. So, Father, we come today in that mode, in that forgiveness mode, Lord God, thanking you for the privilege of prayer. And, Father, we lift up your name and exalt the name of your Son, Jesus, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Father, we ask a blessing on the lesson today. Father, some of our mothers and people are not able to get around so well. Some of them are in confinement and can't really receive visitors. So we pray for them a special blessing, Father, because we know you can visit anybody, anytime, anywhere. And so, Father, we ask you to be with them right now. Comfort their spirits, comfort their hearts, comfort their minds, Lord God, and give them that peace that passeth all understanding. And, Father, for that, we thank you, and we ask a blessing on your word today and on the lesson and him who teaches, Lord God, who is totally unworthy without your blessing, Lord God, that you would bless me that I might speak the mystery of the gospel with all authority. And, Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask blessing for your church everywhere, all around the planet, Lord, wherever she is, that she would lift up her voice today and call sinking men and dying women to believe the gospel of your son that you have declared in all the earth. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray, and the whole church said together, amen. Amen. Go ahead and praise God. We hope you put on your list whatever it is that you felt you needed to pray at that time while we were lifting up prayer. Amen. Whatever it is, there's nothing off the list, nothing too big nor too small for God. God says, I'm concerned about everything in your life. See, you need to know that. Because you know what? You're going to get a lot of opposition. You're going to have the devil telling you, oh, no, God is not interested in you. You know what you did yesterday. And he puts guilt and condemnation on you. God is not the one putting guilt and condemnation on his children. God loves us so much, he made a substitute. He gave his own son to cover us so we don't have to be guilty. That's why Romans 8:1 says, there's now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's not even my text this morning, but I love that verse, those verses in Romans 8. Because there is no condemnation, so I don't want you to feel any condemnation whatsoever. Amen. I want you to understand that God loves you just exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And that's what the church has been called to do, is to go and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Now, that is a part of our text for today. But let's move on. I just had to get those preliminary thoughts out of my head for today. Amen. And I want you to know that if you've been living under a spirit of fear or condemnation, you don't have to do it. God loves you just like you are. He gave his son to make you clean, to make your slate entirely clean. So realize that. Walk in that freedom that God has blessed me to be completely clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, you are already clean, he told his disciples, because of the word that I've spoken to you. See? So we're clean. So don't, if you get a spirit of condemnation, if you get a spirit of fear, realize that does not proceed from the God of heaven, the only God who gave his son in order that you would not feel condemned, that you would not feel fear, that you know, like David learned in his lifetime, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. There's a lot of evil going on in the world right now. See? And God does permit that, and it comes pretty close. It strikes at our hearts. It strikes at our families. It strikes at our mindset. It can put you in a spirit of fear. I hear some people even saying it's difficult for them to sleep. They are losing sleep over all the crazy stuff that's going on in the world. Well, I want you to sleep tonight and get the best rest you ever had in all of your life. You know why? Because God is on the throne, and the scripture says he neither sleepeth nor slumber. He's up all night, so I don't have to be. I can go and take a rest. Amen. And he's there to protect me. He's protected me all the way from the womb up until now. Amen. And God has protected you as well, if you're hearing my voice. So let's go ahead. I want to get that covered first, because I don't want you to be having a spirit of fear. You might as well go ahead and give him praise right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you did, how you brought me through. You brought me all the way through. Even when I wasn't thinking about you, you were thinking about me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That's where we need to be, right there. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's what I need. I need an online teacher who's going to teach me and walk me through even the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. That means I'm welcome in his company. You see, this is where you got to get today, saints, if you want to really be able to endure all this stuff that we're dealing with right now. And I want you to know there's an evil trend going on in the world, and you and I need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our message for today, focusing on Jesus. This is the solution. This is the antidote, as we told you on Wednesday, to the pandemic of sin, which everybody has. Everybody has sinned. There isn't anyone anywhere. I don't care if you go to the Vatican. Everyone there has sinned. No matter where you go on this planet, everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. God has one remedy, and that is by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ alone, who he gave as a ransom to pay the bill for your sin and mine. He has made a decree, and it is the highest decree that there is in the universe. I don't care what SpaceX is talking about or NASA or anybody else. The highest decree in the universe comes from the Most High God, and he has declared that whoever believes in Jesus, his only begotten Son, shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I hope you're locked in there. He doesn't require you to be a rocket scientist in order for you to be saved. He just says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe that God has given his Son, and he did that for you. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you just like you are, and so do I. I love you too. That's why I'm telling you the truth. Amen. So the closer we get to the coming kingdom of Christ, now keep this in mind. We've been talking about this, and some of you have been listening to the other messages. God wants to have a global kingdom, and he will. He always wanted that all the way from the beginning. And he has endured kingdoms of men all the way from the fall of Adam clear on up till now. And he will do that until there's a big ugly system which is forming right now that will be known and spoken of in the scripture as Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. That system is forming right now. You can see it. It's an unholy conglomeration of many nations. And basically one ruler will rise to the top of that kingdom. And ultimately, he will deceive multitudes. He will deceive everyone who is not rooted and grounded in the truth and doesn't see God's plan, which is running concurrent with all of the confusion. So when we see confusion of stuff like what we're talking about in America, systemic racism, I hear so much about that. That's an old ugly sin, been going on for a long time, and it probably will continue until the trumpet sounds. But the fact is, that doesn't mean it's okay, and I'm not trying to make light of it. But it's just one of many sins when men dismiss the true king who is Jesus the Christ. Now, you know what? You and I, the Bible says, are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is one who represents another kingdom, and he resides in an existing kingdom. But we're really, our kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. You know, our kingdom is from on high, from the Most High God. And you are a citizen of heaven if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? God wants you to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the most highest and the most authoritative government that there is. So I don't have time to get hung up in Democrats and politics and Republicans and the Green Party and all that. They're okay. I don't come against them, and I'll operate within that framework because God has commanded me to do so. But my allegiance is not there. My allegiance is to the Most High God. His Son is Jesus, who he is the Prince of Peace. And he will rule and reign from Jerusalem in due time. And we know that. And so you and I represent him. And so that's the mindset we have to be in when we get into all the whole hoopla with the politics and all that. I hear a lot of Christians supposedly getting hung up in all that. That's not where your allegiance ought to be. Your allegiance must be to the Most High God. Do the best you can. I'm not saying don't vote or be disinterested. Vote your convictions. However the Holy Ghost leads you to vote, go there and vote. Pick the best thing that you think is the best for God's agenda. Keep your agenda and your mindset out of it because we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, the scripture says, with the precious blood of Jesus. So I want to think what's best for God's people, what's best for God's plan, what's best for God's kingdom that is coming. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why he told us when you pray, he says, pray our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. See how high that is on that list in the prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where you and I got to get right there. He didn't say as it is in Moscow or as it is in Washington, D.C. or as it is at the Kremlin. None of that. It has to do with thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. That means I'm going to provide for you your daily bread. I don't even have to stock a bunch up because you can give me fresh bread every day. See what I'm saying? So my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. That includes all political ground, any other kind of ground. See? So you and I need to have a holy mindset focused on the Most High God, who is the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. And he will be the judge of all things. See? And so he has chosen not to judge those who deserve it. You know how many deserve judgment? Everyone. But God has put out a plan of amnesty. We talked about that on last week. And his plan of amnesty is to give whosoever believes in his king grace in order for them to continue on and represent him in the fallen world. So I want to be on that side of God, not on the side where he's planning judgment that will bring down all the kingdoms of the world. The scripture says there's coming a time when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever and ever. In the meantime, we have a ball of confusion, to borrow a phrase from the Temptations, if you don't mind if I do that. It's a ball of confusion, all kinds of craziness going on all around the world. None of it, not much of it, let's say, is not ordained by God. Obviously, God is not into people hating each other, killing each other. We know whose fingerprints those are. That's the prince of the darkness, the prince of wickedness. That is the devil, who is the father of lies and of murder and of death. So we know who that is. Whoever's dealing in that, you're serving your father, the devil. That's what Jesus told some other religious leaders. They call themselves religious and spiritual. He said, you know what? You are of your father, the devil. You're not of my father, who is God. And so we need to distinguish that. You have one or two fathers. Either you have God the Father, who sits most high on the throne, and he is the sovereign ruler of everything, or you deal with the other one. That's all it is, plain and simple. Keep this in mind. Even though you're God's, doesn't mean the devil is going to let up on you. We could ask Job. We could bring a witness to the stand. Job would tell you, well, you know, I'm God's. But yes, he did allow the devil some access to me to show the devil something. God wants to use your faith to show the devil something. If my people have faith, they believe in me, they trust me, and they walk with me, even no matter what you put them through or what you may subject them to, and you know what, that strengthens our faith, and it teaches the spirits of darkness some things about the mighty power of Almighty God. Amen. And so let me move on. I digress. I want to talk with you today about focusing on Jesus, because I have been studying this and praying on it this week. And the truth is, this is what you have to do to maintain a system of sanity in evil days like the ones in which we live. So the closer we get to the coming kingdom of Christ, the more smokescreen, I'm going to call it, can be expected from the enemies of the Most High God. Such confusion is not coming from God, but rather from the devil and the world. That's where the confusion is coming from. God is not the author of confusion. He's doing nothing to confuse people. And when he has given us his word and it's crystal clear, he has given us the word. Now, I'm going to say this is my Bible. I'm not going to say it is a Bible. Some people say that. But this is my Bible. And God's word is crystal clear. And you and I can receive from the word, walk in the word, be educated in the word, be cleansed by the word, be prepped and prepared to go out and teach others by the word. The word makes every difference in all things. And so when you see earthly kingdoms batting it around and giving it a little credit here, and then they give credit to 45 other things that God has not said or has nothing to do with, you need to be able to discern what that is and where that's coming from. Not coming from the Most High God. He's clear, and he is not the author of confusion. But we see the world coming in on that, and it's affecting the church. That's why I have to speak to you this way today. But if this stuff is not coming from God, it's coming from the devil and the world. So listen to this thought-provoking message here that I'm going to state here to you right now of what we must do to walk without fear as we go about our day-to-day lives. How do you walk in a world like this? And you say, some people say, and this is where I hear this most of the time, why would God let the devil do that? Well, you know, he has his own purposes. And the fact is, the devil is coming to an end. The system of the world and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. We looked at that back a little ways back in Psalms 2. You can look at that lesson. It's still online if you'd like to go back to it. But I want you to know today that you and I, the answer to the question is really focusing on Jesus. We have to focus on Jesus. No matter what we're dealing with, We want to set our minds, like Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. You know why? Because you have died. If you're in Christ, you have already died in Christ. We've become dead to the world. We've become dead to the flesh. But we have become alive to God. We were already dead, Ephesians 2 says, in our trespasses and sin. But God made us alive and gave us grace and faith to believe in his Son. That's why Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, we can't impress God with human works. Mere human works do not impress God, and they certainly do not appease his wrath against our sin. So only one way that can be done, and that's to put your trust in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus told Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus is not on a mission of condemnation. I want you to know that and hear that clearly. He's not trying to condemn you. He's saying, I love you so much that I lifted up my hands on that cross and I was wounded for your transgression. I was bruised for your iniquity. I was chastised for your peace. All the punishment that you deserve fell upon me. And I took it all and did not sin, did not speak an evil word against God. See, and that's what you see when you see the cross. So focus on Jesus. Next time you think you're going through a bunch of trouble, oh, and this stuff in my life is weighing me down, and oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Think about Jesus hanging between heaven and earth on a cross. That he was not guilty, had done no sin, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Perfectly innocent. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Nothing has happened to you or me that even comes close to what he went through in order to set us free from the law of sin and death. And the whole world abides in the lap of the wicked one, John says in 1 John chapter 5. But you and I live in another realm. We are living in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. According to Ephesians, so many different places we could talk about that. And so remember where you are, remember whose you are, and God will direct your path. That's what David learned in the Old Testament even. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Realize that God wants to be close with you. Sometimes we don't feel close just because it's not normal. That people would feel necessarily close with all the stuff going on in our life. But God still loves you, and he has made a way for you. And I want you to understand that today. Focus on Jesus. He loves you just like you are. You know what? We disqualify ourselves. We go, I know the kind of stuff I think. Know the kind of way I feel. And we have all these judgments we bring on ourselves. But I want you to focus on Jesus today. Understand, and not only now, but throughout these next days, keep your mind on him. And it will carry you a long way. In the book of Habakkuk, we have a few verses. This is an Old Testament minor prophet, only called minor because of the length of his work. Not that it's not important and a great part of the scripture, because it really is. But I want you to see that Habakkuk in chapter 3, he was going through a similar dilemma in the fact that the country looked like was going down. Keep in mind, the Jews were selected by God to deliver the Christ, the Messiah, to the whole world. And so this is what we need to understand. But what happened with Habakkuk? He saw the Jews rise. Next thing you know, he started to see them doing wicked stuff. They began to blend in with the culture. And they began to start to do the stuff the Gentiles who were around them were doing. And Habakkuk said, well, look how horrible are the people of God or have gotten. Oh, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And you know what God's decision was? To bring in the Chaldeans to judge them. And that's where they came from. They came out of the Chaldeans through Abraham, who was from Ur of the Chaldees. You can read about that over in Genesis 12. And the whole people of Israel, the whole nation, came from one man and one woman who came out of Ur of the Chaldees. That was Abraham and Sarah. And they became multitudes of people by the time Habakkuk writes this text that we have set before you today. And by now, they have gotten intermixed and blended in with the world, and it was awful. So this is the same thing the church is doing, and the scripture tells us that the things that happened to Israel are written for our admonition so that we don't make the same mistakes they made. And so that's what we have when we look in the Bible, is a record of how God raised up a people for his own possession, and he brought through them the Christ, the Messiah, after 42 generations from the days of Abraham to the time of his birth in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, who was a false king who had already usurped the throne of Israel. Back at that time, he was not in the lineage in the household of David, but Jesus' parents were, both Mary and Joseph. You know, and Joseph is technically not Jesus' father because God the Holy Spirit is Jesus' father. But Joseph was allowed to adopt, God adopted him to be an earthly father for his son, Jesus, even though his genetics had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. Mary, on the other hand, was born of the lineage of David also, and so she gave them a right maternally to be the son of God and also the son of David, and all those things converged upon her. There's a great lesson about that I'd like to teach you when we have time. But today, for today's purposes, I want you to see from that beginning, clear on through, from that time up until now, God's people, at that time Jesus was being born so that he could separate God's people and also extend the gospel to the Gentiles as well, which was his initial promise that he made to Abraham. He told Abraham, who was a Gentile, a Chaldean Gentile from Ur of the Chaldees, the same place we're talking about here, with Habakkuk, that in your seed, speaking of Jesus, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so this is what we want you to understand today. Habakkuk knew all this history of the Jews, which I've just condensed in a very few statements. And he said, look now, God, look what's going on. Look how your people are acting up. They act just like the folks in the world. They act like the Gentiles. And now you're going to do what? Send other Gentiles that are even worse than those to judge your people? That blew his mind. He couldn't really pick it up. And so I think a lot of what we see in our culture, because America in many ways has been very well blessed by God. We have received blessings from God, so many that it's amazing. Really, when you think about it, the world is an entirely different place because of the innovation that God blessed this country with throughout the years. The country was a more godly place to be at one time in the history of America. It's got some ugly scars in it, slavery and oppression, and some of that even still continues till today. But by and large, this country was blessed more than any other nation in the history of the world thus far. Why? Because we gave the world all kinds of things it never had. And they were invented right here on American soil. Things like mass communications, TV, refrigeration. We can go on and on and on and on talking about innovations that God blessed this country and made it the best country on earth. It made it the blessed land. It's the talk of the world. And we stayed that way until recently. Now I think we're on the decline. I think even though when we received all those blessings, we didn't give God any credit. Eventually we said, oh, we're the ones doing all this. And we wanted to grab up all the glory and all the credit rather than like we started on our face before a holy God. You know what? I am appalled that even with the politics, and I'm not talking about either side one way or the other, but no one, not on either side of American politics, has said, let's stop what we're doing, get on our face, and call on the Most High God. You know why? They don't believe that there's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't believe that. We've kind of let the devil get in with all kinds of hogwash. We let people take prayer out the schools, and we let people, you might not even find prayer in the church somewhere. You know, some of the way stuff is going right now. And you hear very little about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are hung up in the politics and all of that. And none of that is going to provide an eternal home for anybody. It's not going to provide eternal abiding peace for anybody. Why? Because it's flawed and it's imperfect, every bit of it. And I'm not an insurrectionist or any of that. I believe, yeah, you should participate to the fullest extent or with the government unless they tell you to do something that's ungodly. When they tell you to do something ungodly, then okay, you turn them over to God and you walk by faith in God and not by what the politics or the law of the land says. But until then, we are to be law-abiding citizens, and basically God will fight your battles. And that's what we need to understand. Habakkuk was perplexed because the people of God were now being judged by the Gentiles. Now, you go, wait a minute now, God, what's up with this? And that's, of course, that's my modern translation. He said, I can't understand. There are more wretched people in your people than there are even among the Gentiles. They do stuff way worse than what some of the Gentiles are doing. And he was crying out. God said, well, you know what? You wouldn't even understand this, Habakkuk, even if I told you that I'm going to send the Chaldeans. That's the very nation that Abraham was called out of to generate the people known as Israel. And he said, I'm sending them in, a fierce and impetuous people. And they're going to come in. They're going to be my stick of judgment to whoop my people. Now, so God will do that. He will issue out a whipping if you deserve it. And you know what? Many times we do. And he does this to nations on a national level to let people know you've gotten out of whack. You're not doing stuff according to what I told you in my word. You're flying by the seat of your own pants, and you have abandoned me and jettisoned my word and put it out, and now you think you can handle the world without me. And the truth is, we can't. And so this whole thing is going to turn into a big ball of confusion, which it already is, and many, many people basically are going to be brought to judgment. Because God will always chastise a nation when it gets out of sync with what is right. And so when you see unrighteous things being going on a national level, you can expect that God is going to do something about it. He's not going to leave it unchallenged. And so God will always do that. He's a righteous God. He is not into any unrighteousness of any sort and cannot be blamed for any. And so here Habakkuk is finally seeing that after God told him what he was doing, he had to get to a place where I'm going to settle with God and just trust him no matter what happens. And so in Habakkuk 3:17, he's kind of concluding his thoughts. And he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, which is almost an impossible thing, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fail. He says, all the stuff I can normally count on, all of it fails. And the fields shall yield no meat. There's no food coming in from the fields. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stall. All of that was financial things that made the economy of Israel work. He said, even if all of that is shut down, he says, yet I will rejoice, Habakkuk 3:18, in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation no matter what I see going on around me. You know why? Because he realized it was judgment from God. The confusion, the tumults, the protesting, all of that kind of stuff, sometimes is God allowing confusion to come upon the people, you see. And his judgment will enter in into a country who forsakes him, and he will get peace back in the land, you see. Now, Habakkuk saw it. It was hard for him to digest it, but he said, no matter what I see, Lord, I am going to trust you, as he goes on to say here. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. God says, I'll give you stable footing in the midst of all kinds of disaster, whether it be other nations attacking, whether it be people falling apart from within themselves due to mindless confusion and having no mooring in their life. You know what? Jesus is an anchor for the soul. When you trust Christ, you have an anchor. The world can be tossed to and fro like a sea in a storm. But if you have the anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6:18 says, Jesus, he is the one that can anchor you in the midst of political confusion, economic confusion, any kind of confusion the devil can stir. We can be anchored in Christ, and we can make it through. You know what? The scripture says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's the truth. God is obviously for us. That's why he gave his son. And he centered time in the whole world around Jesus, his own son. It's 2020 because that's how long it's been since Christ was born. That's not true of anyone else. And so don't let that be a soft credential that you kind of sweep away. And that's serious. That's a serious credential. The fact that all time, your birth certificate and my birth certificate are based on Jesus' birth certificate. Every tombstone is based on Jesus' birth certificate, when a person was born and when they died. Everything in this world, even the stock market, is centered on the same date that has Jesus Christ in the middle of it, and that's God who put him there so he would be right in your face. So you have every reason to trust him and believe in him. He's the only one of whom that is true, and the scripture even predicts there may come a time when they will change how dates and things are calculated because the Antichrist is trying to seize all the power in the world. And he is doing a great job. I hate to give him a compliment, but I think it's God's will to allow this so that people who are unbelieving can be separated from people who are believing. My purpose for you today is to call you to believe. Focus on Jesus. Let him be central in your life. You know what he'll do? He'll open up the mysteries of his word so that you can understand what he's saying. He will help you to understand. Without him, we can't understand. The Bible is a closed book to people who do not know the Christ, the Messiah. But all who know the Christ and the Messiah in a personal way It's an open book. God will give you the understanding, like he had to give Habakkuk a little help there for him to get and understand, why are you in such a confusion? Why are the people of God looking like a mess? Why? Why is that happening? And the reason is God had allowed them to go their own way. That's what they wanted to do. You know what? God doesn't want to force anyone to trust him or believe in him. He wants you to believe in him because it's right. He is God. He's not going to twist your arm or anything like that. But he says, the scripture says, unto as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. See? And we'll be born again from above. That means God will give you a new birth so that you can see what he's doing. That's what's important. It's not important what's going on in all these countries so much, because I want to know, what is God doing? What is the Most High doing? How is it affecting everything here? And he's the only one who can give you perfect peace. Isaiah 26 says, if you keep your mind stayed on him, he will give you perfect peace. I need a little perfect peace. I don't know about you. You know, I feed on that peace that passeth all understanding, like Paul said, that would rule your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, that's what he told Joshua. They were going in on a conquest. Joshua 1:80 told him, do not let the book of the law depart from out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. And you shall be prosperous. It'll make you prosperous in your way, and you shall have good success, no matter what the world is doing. That's the beautiful thing I want you to see. God says, I'm going to prosper my people regardless of what kind of confusion is going on in the world. And so that's where I am right now, and I hope that's where you will be, and that you will focus on Jesus, because he is the one who can give you that status and that peace. So God's program is the greatest thing going in the heavens and on the earth. Therefore, if we belong to him, we do not ever need to fear what the smokescreen of the world, the flesh, nor the devil puts up as an attempt to get us off course, because God is never, ever going to come short of his word. He will always fulfill his word perfectly. He will never, ever come short of his word. So you can trust on him. It will anchor you in the middle of all kinds of trouble, diseases, and all the stuff that you and I are dealing with. All kinds of food being threatened in the world, and locusts coming in, and all kinds of stuff. You know who has charge of all those things, don't you? That's the same one who gives you your next breath. He's the same one that has loved you from the womb up until right now. He's the same one gave his own son, allow him to be crucified, lifted up and die on a tree. And the purpose for that is so that you understand, I love you this much, and I'm paying a bill you could never pay. There's no way we could ever pay the bill that we owe. So God says, I'm going to pay it for him right here in the public and make it the center of human history, which is what God has done, so that whoever trusts him, you will rule and reign with him in heaven. And you can have peace right now in the earth, no matter what's going on around you. So that's the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is that good news that God has loved us that much, proclaimed it through the church. The church started with just those 12, and it's still here today because it's the truth. It's the pillar in the ground of the truth. And God is going to maintain the church throughout time until he's done with the church age. That time is coming soon. That's why we see the devil's kingdom cranking up. God is allowing it because men want to believe the devil. So he said, you want to believe him? Go ahead. See what he'll do for you. He's going to take you down. You're going to go down and be sorry. That's what's going to happen to you. And the ones who hear the good news and receive Christ and begin to be instructed and trained by God will have peace even in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on in the world. Because God doesn't force people to do anything. You're not forced to do what I'm asking you to do. In fact, I'm giving his command so that you can believe him. See? God wants you to believe him, and when you do, he will give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will live in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. Jesus said, now, and he wants to bless you with an internal witness who is the Holy Spirit, and he will give the Holy Spirit to whoever believes in his son. At that point, your confusion will roll away like smoke going out of a room with a fan blowing it out. You'll just get a clear mindset, and you'll have a peace that you've never had before when you trust in the Lord. I talked to some of my Facebook friends. I just want to put this in. And I could sense some pressure that was in their life. And we mentioned stuff because there's all kinds of other stuff, personal things, addictions, and folks stuck on things. And we may even be stuck on some stuff. That doesn't mean anything. If you trust God, he can break the chains. He'll tell the devil, let you go. He's the only one who can. Till a person comes to that understanding themselves, they will never do right. But you know what? When they surrender and say, Lord God, I know you gave your son for me. He was crucified for me. He died for me. And I believe his word. He said, if I believe in him, I will not perish, but have everlasting life. He will set you free and break those chains and give you the freedom that you need. He'll give you peace that's like a river, it says in the word. And he wants to do that, but he won't force his way into your life. So the Old and the New Testament are filled with examples of how there are always scoffers and mockers. We talked about that as people who scoff against the truth. In other words, they don't believe the truth. And they say, yeah, that's what you think. That's what you believe. But what about this? What about that? There is no this and that. As I have told you and I always like to make clear, there's only two things, two ways you can believe. Either you trust Christ or you don't. Period. That's it. Whatever else the devil calls it, he's the author of confusion. He has a million names for it. But whatever it is, either you believe Christ or you don't. Those who trust Christ are saved. Those who don't are not. It's very clear. And so God has never been the author of confusion. The devil is the one who has a million other different possible things you can believe. And this is my truth, and that's their truth, and so on. No, there can't be but one truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So either he's true or he's not. See, and we believe him or we don't. It's that simple. Anything else you believe, people won't talk about coexist. You have no choice. You must coexist. But you can either coexist saved and trust Christ, who God has given and centered the world around, or you can believe something else. That's where God is. He's not trying to confuse you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one way to be saved. So the Old and the New Testament show us examples of how there are scoffers and mockers who come along with a smokescreen to get true believers to get you off your assignment, to get true believers of their assignments, and to shift our focus off of Jesus, who is God's king. That's what you understand. Who you should understand. Who is Jesus? He is God's king, who he has chosen. Read Psalm 2. And whose kingdom we are all praying to come on earth as it is in heaven. Remember when Jesus instructed his disciples how to pray? He said, pray in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lift up his name. Give him praise. Hallow his name. Separate him from everything and everything else. You are the highest. See, thy kingdom come. God's kingdom is coming. Thy will be done. This is his will right here. On earth as it is in heaven. And you know, heaven is already set up in perfect order. There's perfect order and perfect peace. No confusion. God's throne is not surrounded with all kinds of competition or anything of that sort. You know why? Because there is no competition. He's the Almighty. He's enthroned in glory. And he's not the least bit disturbed by anything going on. He's already satisfied because Jesus alone satisfied him. His only begotten Son came in the flesh to satisfy God for every iniquity that's going on in the world. Jesus gave that offering, the perfect blood of Jesus, to satisfy God, and it's for whoever believes in him. See, that's why we want to proclaim this good news. If you believe in him, you will not perish. You'll have everlasting life. And so that's where we are now. So Habakkuk had to come to that understanding and say, Lord, I don't care what I see down here. I don't care if nothing works the way it ought to or used to. That's part of our problem. We're accustomed to the way things used to be. See, and we want it to stay that way. But when stuff gets rattled and moved around and taken out of our life and all that, we start to wonder, what's up? You know what? Trust God anyway, no matter what you're going through. No matter what you're dealing with, he has not changed. And if he's shaking it up, it needs to be shaken, whatever it is. See? And so, but he's not trying to shake you up. He wants you to have peace in the midst of the storm. That's why he gave his son. And you can see by the cross that God has paid a great price so that you and I can be saved. And that's the only way anybody can be saved. The cross would be foolishness if there's another way you can be saved. What kind of foolishness would that be for God to have his own son lifted up on a cross? If there's any other way you can be saved, that would be completely a ludicrous thing, would it not? And so moving on, Habakkuk had to come to learn and to remain focusing on Jesus no matter what the current conditions seem to be to be asserting or his immediate emergency, whatever that is. He said, I'm going to look past the stuff that's in my life that's shaking me up, the immediate emergency all around me. Got to look past that and look only at the Lord, trust in His provision. Because these things always tend to distract you from the central theme in the entire Bible, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You'll find that in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where we get our hope from, is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We don't even need to fully understand it. Just believe it. It is the proclamation of the Most High. He loves everyone. He wants you to be saved. And the scripture says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Harden not your heart as they did in the provocation. The people of God hardened their heart against God, and they had to be judged, even in the wilderness. And all these things are written, it says in Romans 15, you can read it, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that these things are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the age have come. You and I are living in the end of the age, and this stuff was written, the whole history of Israel is written here in the Word, so that we can understand how God deals with the people with whom He has the covenant. So I hope you will trust Christ today. If you do trust Him, I guarantee you that you will get a peace that you have never had before. You will realize that He loves you through everything. He's protected you through everything. Wherever you are right now, whatever you're dealing with, He has protected you. He brought you to the place where you are, and He's given you more grace. He has more grace than we have sin. And so I'm happy about that, and I hope you are too. Hey, man, I'm not going to keep you any longer today. I know y'all probably got biscuits in the oven and birds of prey. I got to go deal with a few of them. That's why I say thank you, Jesus, for this chicken. Thank you for this duck. No, I'm just kidding. But in any case, yeah, I know you got other stuff to do, but I thank you for spending this time with me today, and I hope that it has helped you and blessed you in some kind of way. Hey, man, I just believe God that you are going to feel better once you know that situation, because it is the most important thing you and I have to do in life, is believe the gospel, that good news, and you shall be saved. So St. Timothy is looking to escalate our output, and I mentioned this on my Facebook page. You can send me email if you like. Go on teachingbible.org, which is our website, and connect with us. We're doing what we can to spread the gospel even further. We believe God has given this season for us to be able to operate and work on those things and get our media ministry cranked up even to a higher level. And so that's what I'm planning on, and I want to ask you to pray for me in that regard. And if you would like to offer your support in that regard, we would gladly receive that as well, because we are looking to send the gospel to more places than it ever has been within the capability of our own abilities and beyond that, because God has no limits. And so whatever you need, always remember that God loves you and He can make a way when there seems to be no way. Amen. And that's how He brought His own children through the Red Sea on dry land. There was no way, and He made a way for them to go. He'll do that for you and me as well. Amen. So have a blessed rest of your day, Facebook. I love you guys. If I can pray for you in any way, let me know. Personally, you can contact me. Hey, man, I'm a very approachable kind of person. I try to stay that way because I'm not into being exhausted and all of that. More folks to walk 3 steps behind me or any of that. I just love God's people, and it's my privilege to minister to you. Amen. So you have a blessed rest of your day, and God bless you. Amen.